And at that time, what Nanachat was not yet established. There was a collection of various Westerners with Ajahn Chah, as a tiny minority, really. The Ajahn Chah attracted many students and disciples at that time. There was probably 60-70 monks, 60-70 nuns, or ordained people in the monastery, plus quite a stream of lay people coming through all the time, and as a group we were definitely a small minority, but we were growing in numbers, and Ajahn Chah would send the Westerners out to live after they got a bit of experience and training at Ajahn Chah's main monastery, Wat Bopong, and he would send them out to the various branch monasteries, which at that point there was probably about 14 or 15 or something. Now there's over 300. So there was early days, and Ajahn Chah there was just something that was very compelling or attractive or inspiring about his example, really, especially for us as Westerners, his teaching was, because most of us showed up with no language skills, so we didn't quite know what he was saying, and then even when we did start learning the Thai language, start realizing we still can't understand what he's saying, because most of the time, in those days, there weren't that many central Thai monks coming to stay with him. So it was all mostly Northeasterners. So he'd speak the Northeastern dialect, which was definitely not in the books. So having to get our mind around another layer of language to access it. But what really inspired was was his demeanor, was his example, and the example that was set by the community that was around him. You recognize that they were, they were dedicated, they were composed, they were leading exemplary lives, and that was under Ajahn Chah's tutelage. So that it was both, what we learned from him, but also just what we learned from being around the people who lived and trained with him. And so it was a mixture of those